And we're on. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Anyone and everyone out there listening right now? This is your one and only host, Ben Kang, on the newest, newly put out podcast. Turn that off right now. Called Shot. And this is a podcast I'm just doing for myself. And hopefully anyone else that might enjoy what I have to blabble on about, what I have to express on my mind at the given moment. It is 8 o'clock on the dot. Actually, 8:01 in my cozy pocket full of posy studio apartment. And it is October 1st, 2018. And I am bringing you this live hot heat from San Diego, California. Also known as San Diego, California. Comifornia. I'll get into that later or in some future episodes. But for now, I want to give just a overview, a rundown, a intro, kind of introspective account of what I'm trying to do with this. I'm just trying to push myself, you know. I'm not really a book reader. I'm not really productive. I actually ended my Instacart shift to try to do this. That's right. I deliver groceries for a living. Appreciate. Don't instigate. Right on. So I'm doing this podcast to express myself, like I said, way back when, a little while ago. Furthermore, even try to connect to people in real life. Try to gain some more friends in real life. I don't really have many friends right now, so that's definitely not good. Improve my social media standing, you know, on the grams of Insta, if you will. Feeling pretty good. I've upped my ante about 5 to 10 followers in the past 24 hours, so that's always a self-esteem pusher for me. And I just really want to express myself and get things off my chest. Really having a big bugaloo of an issue kind of coming up with the name for this very casually put together deciding to start this kind of thing. I was having a toil with the name. I was thinking that I shouldn't have something that's really long because, you know, people want it quick. They want it impactful. They want it direct. They don't want any bullshitting around. So I came up with Shot, obviously. That's why you probably heard the really low-quality gun sound effects I played on YouTube at the start. They're actually really real gunshot sound effects, so don't hate on me for not being authentical. I was thinking of maybe using Vent, kind of just to shorten it out to like ventilating my thoughts, ventilating my ideas, ventilating what I have on my mind at the given time. But, you know, I didn't want to, you know, go the whole blue collar HVAC plumbing and air conditioning route. It could cause some mass hysteria and create a lot of confusion to, you know, the socio-economic demographic of the lower to middle, you know, white class of San Diego. I was thinking of something with Kang or something similar to, you know, my name Kang. That is one of my Korean names.
I am Korean, part Korean, thank God. I'm not a fucking full-on Korean. 'Cause we all know the full-on Koreans look the most Asian. And the most Asian, according to all the other non-Asians, is the most mutant looking, the most physically deformed looking, if you want to go the racial route, the most dare I say retarded looking. So anyways, I was thinking maybe, Kang sized, the Kickin' Kang podcast, Kang's podcast, but I didn't want to really go the ego route either. I'm definitely not trying to be egotistical with this whole sort of thing I'm trying to do. So I just, figured shot, it was clear, it was to the point, it was direct. Obviously, you shoot your podcast or you record it, shooting, recording, shot, recorded, same different type of thing, same difference. So I just decided to go with shot. And that's all for now about why it's named shot and how I came up with the name. Anyways, getting pretty good into this little podcast of a time here. Already past 60 minutos. And this first episode, I guess I want to maybe elaborate where I'm at right now. I am living in San Diego, California. San Diego, California. I have some relatives out here. I am not originally from San Diego, California. I moved out here in 2015, January of 2015. Kind of was a little tired and bored of where I used to live on the East Coast, so I just wanted to change up things a bit while I'm still a fresh and touty, rootin' rowdy 20-something year old. So I moved out here in January of 2015, kind of reconnect with some of my cousins who I hadn't seen much of, trying to get to know them better, so to speak. So yeah, that's always a good thing. I came out here definitely for a certain few specific things. When I first visited in 2012, I'm a warm weather guy, but a low humidity guy, so that pretty much limits the options to Southern California as far as that desirable type of weather. You're not gonna get that anywhere else in the country, so pretty much a lot of other people are out here for the weather that are not from here, and that's the main reason why I'm out here. Obviously, there's always something to do. You have the luxury and convenience of a mid to large size city here, but you have access and a whole lot of variety at your disposal. Geographically and naturally speaking, we got pretty much everything you could think of: the mountains, the hills, the rivers and lakes, and then obviously we're right bang against the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, so we got the ocean beach life. And we got everything in between, the desert country, if you want to go inland more. Always something to do and always something to see. So yeah, it is what it is, and that's why I've been here. I'm gonna get into kind of supportive reasons why I'm trying to do this podcast, or why I am doing this podcast. I got into stand-up comedy. I've always been into stand-up comedy ever since I was in high school. Mostly just watching it and following my favorite comedians. But I really wanted to give open mic stand-up comedy a try since I moved here. And I did a little research. I did discover that San Diego does have a decent opening for all new and up and coming stand up comedians on the open mic circuit. There's a lot of different clubs out here where you can test your comedic tango and see how you want to go about this, thingamabob about making people laugh while you're on stage for around, 3 minutes. That's pretty much the average time that they give you at any one of these clubs, some of the more popular ones, obviously, if you didn't know, or know nothing about that life, Madhouse Comedy Club, downtown San Diego, Horton Plaza, you got the Comedy Palace on Claremont Mesa Boulevard. You have, some various bars around that will showcase and maybe have like one night a month where you can get on a show and do your thing for maybe even a little longer time. Winston's in Ocean Beach. So there's, a good handful or more that cater to the no-namers, everyone that's not getting paid the big money. And obviously, of course, I forgot the La Jolla Comedy Store in La Jolla. It's the other big one. So basically, I wanted to try what I could do. And first tried it in 2015. Nervous, very nerve-wracking process the first 5 to 10 different times you go up. And I was kind of bullcrapping around in 2015. I wasn't taking it too seriously as far as going every week or multiple times every week for that year. Just wanted to get my feet wet, see what it was like, go through the notions, emotions, see if I ride some of them wave comedic oceans. So, I first tried it out a lot, or the first several times I tried it out was at the Comedy Palace. And, the Comedy Palace, getting into it, it's kind of a greasy Greek place. Getting a little racial there, but I'll say it. I'll fucking say it. It's a part restaurant, part like bar, and they have, basically two different rooms for, shows, entertainment, what have you not. They host a bunch of different things. One night they might have a comedy show with like a headlining comedian. And then the next week after that, there might be a fucking, I don't know, women's night out, and they'll have like five different man strippers with their dicks all flopping on the stage, and who knows what else goes on. So there's a bunch of different entertainment that they host there, and but mainly, I think mainly it is, comedy, hence the name, the Comedy Palace. So yeah, I tried it there for the first several times, and then I branched out, 2016. The year after, I started to get more into it, tried out different places like Madhouse. That's another place with like a lot of like bigger names, getting to perform there for like paid shows and what have you. And the Comedy Store, I think I did there once or twice so far. It's one big place that I've done the least in San Diego. But yeah, 2016, got more into it, started going maybe more times a week, started to get a little bit better. I didn't really write anything down. I just wanted the adrenaline rush of like not writing anything down, just thinking of what I wanted to say in my head, like as soon as I got to the place, and this just going over and over and over again, like what I would be saying, basically trying to go word for word in my head what I'd be saying when I get up on stage, and ooh, that's some type of progress, some type of process. But obviously, if you're serious about, you know, fine-tuning your open mic stand-up comedy craft, you probably shouldn't do that. But I don't give a fuck. So that's why I did it. But it is a good adrenaline rush. It's the most adrenaline rush you could possibly have with doing open mic. Just, you know, kind of just having a big loose idea and just kind of fine-tuning it down, you know, the minutes, the seconds before you get up on stage. And then when you get up on stage, try to actually say what all you thought about. 99.99, if not more, percent of the time, it is not going to go exactly word for word how you thought of it in your head before going up on stage, at least from my point of view. I've never really talked about it with any of the other open mic stand-up comedians. And I'll get into loosely my relationship with this open mic stand-up comedy crowd here in San Diego. But in my opinion, in my experience, I could not say exactly how, like, I envisioned it in my head. When I got up on stage, it was always a little bit off. It always was, like, on the main topic, the main kind of theme of what I wanted to do. But just obviously not word for word, because, you know, your first handful of times especially, but even your first 50 or even maybe 100 times, depending on your comfortability level, comfortableness, your comfort level, it's obviously going to dictate how smooth you come about it, how precise you come about what you want to talk about, even if you wrote it down beforehand and even if you practice what you want to say beforehand, whether it's, you know, reading it in front of other people or by yourself. I don't do that because I'm not a pussy faggot. But yeah, so, you know, I used to wing it. I used to wing it a lot. But ever since last year, 2017 is probably when I started to get the most serious about trying to improve my, you know, open mic stand-up comedian game. It's like the most I would have to say I've ever went. You know, there was 1 week last year where I did go like every night for like 5 or 6 days in a row. Just to see if I even really liked it and if I was really even that committed to doing this. Cause I like stand-up comedy. I like, of course, watching some of my favorite stand-up comedians. I like performing. I like trying to get better. I like listening to others that are kind of on my same plane, so to speak. But I'm not like diehard about it. Not yet, anyways, if you want to go there. I'm not going to kill anyone over stand-up comedy or like trying to get something over someone or like trying to get a spot on a show over anyone, especially if you're getting like what, maybe at the most like $100 per show at like the lower levels of getting paid. But yeah, so I started to write things down more so last year. Obviously, I think naturally everyone from the get-go pretty much is into writing whatever they're thinking about saying before they say it on stage. Like, they start doing that from the jump. I actually didn't even start doing that until like last year. So yeah, started writing things down, trying to be a little bit more organized about my approach, trying to improve my approach by actually writing specifically what I wanted to say, word for word, basically paragraphs. Pretty much like I would imagine or believe almost everyone else does that does open mic stand-up comedy or, you know, has comedy shows on a regular basis, they write for the most part. I mean, some of the exceptions would be like some of the more physically based comedians. Like, you know, briefly going into some of the stand-up comedians I really like Bobby Lee. He's, I would say, especially now, very physically based. I really like Chris D'Elia. He's kind of physically based, but you can definitely tell if you've watched his specials and you've seen a good bit of his stand-up comedy. He definitely has like a beginning, middle, and end to his material. It's obviously kind of written out, you would imagine, by the way it's delivered and how he goes about it. I like, obviously, some of the most famous people like Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Cat Williams. Pauly Shore, Pablo Francisco. Let's see. It's really hard to think on the spot while I don't have anything with me. And I mean, I like some of the other like lesser known people. I actually saw some big ones. I saw Tom Green at the Comedy Store last year, and Pauly Shore. That was really fun. And Pablo Francisco I saw at the American Comedy Company. I forgot to mention that earlier, or did I? Yeah, that's like the other like really big place in San Diego. Harlan Williams I saw. That was pretty cool. So basically that's pretty much what I'm into, like with like big names. I'm like kind of not into some of the biggest names. I mean, I can appreciate them, I like them to a certain extent. I can see why people are all over their dick, like Kevin Hart, Bill Burr. And obviously I've watched their stuff to see if I am into them, and I can, you know, believe all the hype that a lot of other people feel and think about them being the best people in the world with stand-up, but, they're just not my favorites. I mean, everyone has their personal inclinations, and they're just, I mean, they're great. I can believe that they're the best or some of the best, but they're just not my personal favorites. So that is what it is, bitch. And as far as like other types of comedians, like female comedians, I can definitely appreciate their work and what they stand for and try to implement into the comedy world. There's no like female comedians that are really my personal favorite, but I can definitely appreciate what they're doing and or trying to do in this system. So those are like some of the people that I'm into that I really like and enjoy. And I don't really try to have my favorite comedians be influenced in what I do. What I do is basically, I want to, first of all, express what's been going on in my life, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling in a funny way, in a relatable way that's also funny. I want to have the audience be able to relate to what I'm thinking and feeling as much as them trying to be entertained and laugh at it, so to speak. So that's what I'm trying to do with what I've been doing. I can talk about, current events, whether it's like big worldly news or like something personal that's been going on in my life. I like to kind of poke fun of what's maybe going on in the world. Like one time last year, I was making fun of like all of these like meme challenges and like ridiculous shit people do, like all the different challenges, like the water bottle flip challenge and the dabbing and the salt baying and all that shit. So I kind of like to do that. I am kind of physical with my comedy too. Maybe that's another component of why I wasn't really stressed about it, like not writing things down before I went up the first year or so, with stand-up open micing. But yeah, I mean, I'm not afraid to get up on the stool, on stage, jump off, like dance around or what have you, to whatever, like get my point across of what I'm trying to say or talk about. Crowd work, I got into that a little bit. I think naturally that's not until you get a little bit or somewhat comfortable with being up there on stage, and maybe just kind of use this filler after you've pretty much covered what you've been talking about, or to try to kind of support what you're talking about and kind of engage and bring the audience even more up to snuff, up to the moment, up to the enjoyment of what you're dealing and talking about. So yeah, I tried to, get a little bit more diversified, like interact more with the people last year. Obviously, like I said before, write things down. But yeah, kind of been slacking this year. Had some personal surprises. Kind of a pregnancy that I may or may not have been a part of in producing the little one. Kind of toil up my time, so to speak, from about like the summer of 2017 till March of this year. So I had a good chunk of months where I didn't really do anything at all. I didn't go. I didn't go to any open mics or anything. So I'm gonna try to get into the swing of things more while I can, when I can, now that that is done with, thank the Lord. And yeah, having a kid when you don't want it's never a good idea, especially if you want to get better at something like stand-up comedy, which requires hours and hundreds of times of bombing, according to some like Ari Shaffir. A somewhat famous comedian, I would say. The Jews would say. But anyways, yeah, so getting back to what I was speaking about. Yeah, I'm gonna try to get into the swing of things more. I did go for the first time in like a year, like last month or in August, like to the Comedy Palace. It was like one of their weekly Tuesday night open mic comedy nights there. So I went and, kind of just winged it like I was doing in the yesteryears. I just wanted to get my feet wet again because it had been in like a year since I did anything. So that was kind of refreshing. It's definitely like a wake-up call, like when you haven't gone in a year or even maybe several months. How bad you're gonna suck again, or like how much of like going back to the drawing board is gonna be and feel like, and you're gonna feel tense, and it's gonna pretty much be very similar to the first handful of times that you tried it in the first place. So yeah, If you're serious, don't take any gaps or breaks like that. Maybe the most, maybe like a couple weeks. If you're gonna try to be somewhat serious about it, somewhat serial about it. But yeah, kind of delving into slightly different areas of discussion. There are definitely, the regular people, the regular goers at these open mics, these weekly open mics. They've been going for years, if not, I don't know how long, 'cause I'm still not really too close with any of them. But yeah, it's like definitely a little like tight-knit community within the open mic stand-up comedian peoples of San Diego. A lot of them are like best buddies. Well, it seems like it. I don't know about best buddies, but they're definitely very close friends and acquaintances within the community of open mic stand-up comedians in San Diego. Originally, I didn't really try to socialize at all, like especially during the first year. I tried to socialize a little bit last year, just because it's fucking awkward just going to weekly open mics and you see the same people and you do your 3 minutes or 5 minutes and then you don't say anything to anyone else, but you see them fucking every week. You might as well say, hello, hey, how's it going? I've seen you here several times, every week pretty much. I see your ass here and might as well get along, we're gonna be seeing each other as long as you're continuing to do this and I'm continuing to do this, might as well get to know each other, Come on. Let's get to know each other. Okay, bend over. So anyways, yeah, I would try to like, maybe talk with like some of them at least once or twice. Typical social small talk people shit, get to know them a little bit, ask them maybe some questions. And it is, good to just talk. I mean, even if you don't really like the person, just maybe get some pointers, get some advice about what they know about stand-up comedy and open micing and what they could relay to you as far as improving your comedic craft or whatever. But yeah. And just like anywhere, everywhere, there's assholes, there's dicks, and then there's, relatively nice people for the most part. And that's pretty much how the stand-up comedy world is, if you don't know anything about stand-up comedy. Even at the lower levels, there's gonna be the dicks and assholes, and then there's gonna be the pussies that don't say anything but kind of go along with the dicks and assholes because, they're pussies and they don't have any backbone and they're not gonna be vocal for themselves or anyone else. Gonna not name any names, but obviously there's a whole gamut of different types here in San Diego. And I'm just gonna say this, just be very careful of what you post on social media, social media websites like Facebook or maybe even Instagram, Twitter. It's obviously a crazy difference between the kind of cues, the communication signals one can pick up while engaging in the social media world as opposed to in real life, person to person, like you're in front of my face, I can see your facial features while you're talking to me and I'm talking to you sort of thing. Just be very careful. From past experience of a little dilemma I went through last year with a certain someone. Just kind of be careful, especially when expressing yourself. If you're a very expressive person like I am, I really don't care. I'm going to express myself in any way possible if I want to at the given time. There's really no barriers of how I express myself, especially with comedy and trying to be reflecting on something in a humorous way. Let's just say one time last year, I said a little joke post about how the certain smell of the given area I was in was related to maybe a certain culture in the world. And then I threw in some other, like, kind of undertone, like, 1-2 jab comedic goes in the post. And then there is another person that saw it, and obviously he got butthurt like a little bitch that he was. Obviously he couldn't take a joke or just didn't want to let it slide. And was like, "That's fucked up, man." I put a little reply after I posted it. And then, you know, weeks later he's on this, you know, Facebook group, you know, trying to get everyone on my his side, claiming that I'm stupid and I'm fucking racist, blah bitty blah blah blah. And then, like, having other people agree, yeah, he's stupid, fuck him, he's a coward, blah blah blah. Okay, whatever. If you wanna, you know, do the whole bandwagon gang mentality with this guy that obviously just was too sensitive and could not see through the comedic material of what I was posting. And obviously, from the way I worded it, wasn't even trying to be offensive. Obviously, wasn't trying to be personally offensive to him or his culture. But yeah, you just gotta be careful, especially when, you know, especially the first year or so of meeting, you know, people in a type of environment like this. You just gotta be careful with this social media posting. Even in real life, like, you just gotta be careful what you say, how you go about things, your mannerisms. Because I will say, in my personal opinion, it's a very, absorbing type of environment to be in. These open mic stand-up comedians are very pack-like. Directly or indirectly, they have their ringleaders, their, so to speak, people that they think kind of run the show as far as, like, who's the leader of this stand-up open mic comedy crowd. And then, like, you know, social norms 101, you know, people just want to be loved and accepted, you know, they just want to be part of the group in the club, they want to be with the band. So, you know, people are gonna side, and people will definitely side. And, you know, I've heard at these open mic places, you know, certain people talking about other people, and, like, obviously, you know, with stand-up comedians, you know, you would think, you would figure that they are some of the most least sensitive people in the world based on what they're into, what they do, what they're all about with this stand-up comedy stuff. And surprisingly, in my opinion, some of them are actually very defensive on certain things. Like, maybe their race, their ethnicity, their culture, their, I don't know, maybe sexuality, their religion, what have you not. So yeah, you just, I guess you gotta just be careful, like, with anything else of what you do and what you say. Yeah, and for my own kind of thing, I would say that you're not going to be overly supported by these peers unless you are kind of friends with them. Or they're not going to, like, they're really not gonna give a fuck about you. That's another thing. People just they care for like who they're into, what they like, who they know well. But as far as anyone else, up and comers, people they don't know that have maybe been doing it even for a year or so, and or if they just don't even like them for whatever reasons, they will not give a fuck about you. They will not support you. They're rooting against you, kind of. There is a bit of like seething, antagonizing kind of like fuck you indirectly. And maybe that's different, but that's kind of what I've sensed here in San Diego. And then I can go on a tangent, a whole another tangent about San Diego, the city itself, and kind of the society, how it is here, how it is different than like other places in the country, if not the world. But yeah, maybe I'll get into that a little bit later. But so that's another reason why you kind of want to maybe get some acquaintances if you are gonna be serious or somewhat serious about doing this. It's just my own recommendation. I do have I feel I truly believe like one or two people that really were always with me. Maybe not vocally or very like gung-ho supporting me, but you know, pretty much had my back. And it is, you know, like I said before, the social media aspect, it can fuck and fluctuate a whole lot of shit up, 'cause you know, you'll put on some posts on Facebook and oh, blah-bitty blah, or so and so, or this or that guy or girl, they liked, you know, my past two posts, three posts. Oh, here's another one that they like. Oh, they must maybe, you know, you would think maybe kind of start to be liking me as a person, but you know, you never can assume until you get to know them in real life. Obviously, someone likes a post on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, that's just them liking what you're expressing at the given time, what you're putting up at the given time. Don't let it get to your head, because it's tricky. It can definitely get to your head, especially if, you know, it'll be several months of like them on and off liking your post, but then it's like you see them at the clubs, and obviously maybe at most you'll be like, oh hey, oh what's up man, oh yeah, what's up, yep, all right, and that's about it. So yeah, just don't let anything, whether big or small, get to your head. It's a little bit under 45 minutes, and we're still cooking this up very well. What else should I get into? So yeah, let me sweep on in to talking about San Diego in itself, since this is the place I am at, where I've been at, where I'm going to be at most likely, at least for the next several more months, because you know, I got that old devil's lease. That old lease until what, next July of where I'm at right now. So that's always peachy keen. So yeah, San Diego. Coined America's finest city. Well, obviously I went into that a little bit before. The variety, the whole convenience of a big city, but not too big of a city like New York or LA even. Let me get into the people in like my opinion for the most part. The people can be very nice, very generous. I don't know if who I've dealt with mostly were people from out of state that had moved here, or natives, or maybe California natives that weren't originally from San Diego, but had moved to San Diego. But I have gotten very many free, drinks when I would go to the bars. I used to go to the bars, a good bit when I first moved here. I got plenty of drinks for free when I had just met these people, like just, chilling in the bars and the clubs. I've gotten free food even. Obviously, there's nice people everywhere, and I have definitely run into a lot of different nice people. A lot of people that, would give me a nice little talk, where I was at the given time, or, just shooting the shit, just, being nice and sociable and friendly at that. On the other hand, San Diego, and furthermore, especially Southern California, if not just California in general, some of the biggest assholes you will ever run into, literally. If you are driving, that is. San Diego, I don't even want to go into Los Angeles, but I have definitely dealt with so many assholes on the road. And I was expecting this, before I even moved here, You expect something because of what you hear beforehand or what you maybe researched on your own or heard about from some other sources or thought of from like movies, TV shows, what have you. But it is true. They are some of the most vindictive people on the road. And obviously, California natives, San Diego natives, Los Angeles natives, they don't know anything else because they've lived there all their life. Their friends and family have been there all their lives. It's nothing new to them. It's like, come on. Like, it's the road that I'm used to. It's how it is. It's what it is. It's all that will ever be. Get used to it or get the fuck out type of thing. But, yeah, plenty of times, people have ran up on my ass when they didn't need to be, or like they just want to beat you to the light, or like beat you past the light, or beat you to the stop. They just want to, I don't know what it is, proving to you, to me, that they got there first before you, or that you couldn't keep up with them. I don't know. I don't know if it's pride. I don't know if it's like they're actually in a hurry, but I've gotten definitely flicked off multiple times. People cursing at me in their car. Didn't know what they were really saying. The windows were up and their voices were too weak for me to hear them clearly, but they were explicitly talking to me. Obviously you could say, hey, it's, obviously you're Asian. Asians can't fucking drive worth a shit. Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that maybe to a little bit, but can't tell me that they still aren't assholes. And a lot of them still are assholes to anyone. You could be Asian, you could be Caucasian, you can be anything. They are still gonna be an asshole. And thankfully, I haven't gotten knocking on my leather chair here, my leather armrest computer chair that I'm sitting in. I haven't gotten into an accident, but there's been a couple of times, if not more, where it almost came to a close for me and my car and maybe my life. So yeah, just watch out for some of these vindictive, crazy assholes that just want to beat you to the place or prove a point or just are in such a rush where they just don't give a fuck about anything in their way. And it's crazy. And I can only imagine how bad it will be in LA if I ever move to LA. I am prepared already for the madness. The insanity, the turbo tranquility of crazy ass fucking shit. Okay, so, but then again, that's not the only place where I've run into, you know, dicks and assholes in San Diego. I kind of just noticed, this is another thing, before I even moved here, I kind of pre-planned that I would be dealing with some elitist assholes, you know. One especially not from California. They kind of have a loose notion, you know, growing up, thinking, oh, California. Yeah, California is like one of the best places in the country to live in. One of the best states, if not the best, if not one of the best places maybe in the world. Some of the spots in California definitely argue to be. But then when you get here and when you actually live here, you know, you can definitely kind of see for yourself how maybe true it is to a certain extent with some of the people here. Some of the natives definitely have a elitist vibe about them, kind of passively aggressively portraying or displaying this. I don't know. Seems like a lot of people out here are more passive aggressive with either being nice to you or being an asshole to you. I don't know, but I just get more of the passive aggressive behavior, like, type kind of thing out here. So yeah, there definitely are a lot of prideful people out here, and I mean, I can see why, but yeah, like, they will definitely ghost you, some of them. So be careful. Don't expect them to be your best buddy, even if you hang out with them a few times, a handful of times. Like, oh, like, I've hung out with, I don't know, Jorge Posada, or Gwyneth Viarjo. Just making up shitty names. I've hung out with them 3 times. I've hung out with them 5 times. Yeah, you know Brian? Yeah, Brian, his Manos. Yeah, from TJ Maxx. Yeah, just started working there. Yeah, he's been there for some time. I've gotten to be friendly with him. Oh, yeah, yeah, is that so? Yeah, yeah, I've actually, you know, went out to In-N-Out Burger with him and a few other associates, employees. Yeah, we're like home dogs, you know. But no. So yeah, just because you talk to someone, or like you like kind of engage with them socially outside of work, or like you hang out with them if you're not work buddies, or like you just meet up with someone and you think you're like pretty good friends after the first few times of hanging out with, maybe it's not the case with them, because, you know, there have been some of the people that I've hung out with out here, just getting to meet them, like get them to know me, you know, trying to see what they're about, like with hanging out with them a few times. But yeah, after a few times, after a handful of times, it's pretty much nothing. People will ghost you, just like maybe anywhere else. I'm thinking ghosting, though, is kind of just a trend to do, whether online or in the real world. Maybe, I mean, you could argue some people, they just want to get out of something, like they want to seek something about someone, or like get a particular kind of idea of what someone's about, and that if they've got it, or if they don't want to continue, you know, they'll just quit hanging out with you. It's nothing personal, you know, even a lot of times it's just, hey, I've kind of gotten what I wanted out from you. You can skitty on, scurry out of here. I'm not gonna hang out with you ever again. And that's fine. It's better to not waste your time on people that don't actually like you, or that you think they like you, but they really don't, and then spend months, if not years, to trying to please someone that doesn't give a fuck about you. So basically, as we come to a close, my little heads up thing came up with this maximum 60 minutes recording time. So as we come to a close at this glorious first episode of Shot with Ben Kang, just be careful, obviously, with whatever you do with whoever you get into. Stay tried and true with your goals, especially if you want to really improve and get better at whatever you're trying to do with what you're trying to attain with yourself and your dreams. Yeah, I think I pretty much covered the main points I wanted to with this first off the wing type of podcast episode. Hopefully there will be many more to come, but I'm not promising any promises. It for the most part will just be me, 'cause I'm a balls out kind of big deck swinging type of dude. I don't need any fucking anyone else really. Maybe if I develop some followers, get a lot of followers, maybe even get some friends out of this, maybe I'll have some guests. Who knows? I'm keeping my windows open, babies. Babies is what Chris D'Elia says. And I'm a fan, a fanny of his stuff. So yeah, I talked about myself a little bit, where I'm at, San Diego, what I've been doing, open mic stand-up comedy, San Diego in itself. So I have hit some of the main points. Mondays, it's Monday. I'm thinking Mondays will be the day I do it. Maybe every week if I'm kind of adamant about doing this. But Mondays at starting at 8, like I just did tonight. Seems like a good time for this to go down. Should I have an intro song? Should I have a closing song? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I kind of just wanted to get this out here, like, kind of bust a nut, podcastily speaking. I've got some definitely songs and music that I'm into that I could play on the intro or outro, and maybe some future episodes I'll get into my particular musical taste and what I'm into, what I don't like. But not for tonight, okay? Okay, yeah, that's what I fucking thought. That is what I fucking thought. Because I'm the master of this shit. Or the master if you're white. Actually, master if you are white, just to switch it up. Master if you're, something else. But I'm your master if you're white. I always wanted to be white people's master. Anyways, coming to a close pretty much in about a minute or two. Let me get a song maybe going. I really like this song. Came out last year. Axwell Ingrosso's Renegade. If you don't like this song, you're just a white devil yourself. You have no soul. You're just very stupid with musical taste and what sounds good and what is good. And you might be mentally challenged and you might need to quit life. But here it is. So, until next time, next Monday, most likely, starting at 8 p.m. on the newest, best, freshly innovated podcast ever to come into the streams of the world, inter and outergalactically, it's the Shot Podcast with Ben Kang. Closing it out with Renegade by Axwell Ingrosso's More Than You Know album. Stay classy. Stay sassy. And we'll see you next time.